Today's theme is living your Easter reality. Let those words rest in you and ignite in you, because it's powerful. We have two Bible readings today. The first one is from Romans 8, verses 9 to 11. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. And the second reading is from Luke 23, verses 55 to 24, and then 1 to 12. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb and how his body was laid. But on that first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again?" Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in, and he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. Over to you, Pastor Peter.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
What a great day. We're looking at the theme, living your Easter reality, because as St. Paul says, if Christ hadn't been raised from the dead, we're lost in our sin and we are of all people most to be pitied. But, Paul goes on, he has been raised. And yet, despite the fact that Jesus has been raised, there is stuff lurking in our tomb. What's lurking in your tomb? It's an interesting question, isn't it? I know the writing's small, but I only chose a few of them. Death, despair, defeat, fear, suspicion, finality, humiliation, anxiety, abandonment, shame, mourning, being defined as a sinner, an orphan, an attitude of an orphan. You know, I don't know where I've come from and I don't know where I'm going. I don't know to whom I belong. Guilt, problems. And I'm sure, collectively, we could all add to the list. Jesus' death is the end of hope as the world knows it. It's a pit of negativity. It's a downward spiral of defeat and despair. Every promise that he had made seems now to be buried in the grave with him, lurking in that tomb, sealed, never to see the light of day again. However, with everything on that list, our Bible reading, I don't know if you noticed it, our Bible reading starts on the word but. That's why we put the last verse of chapter 23 there. The women saw where they had laid him, but. But's an interesting word. It's a joining word. It joins two different thoughts. It's a transitioning word. And it's a word that transitions us from death to life. It's a word that transitions us from hopelessness to hope. Whatever you are going through in your life, there is a but. Life is not a downward spiral of negativity and loss, despite the situations that you find yourself in. This is not to deny the reality of our circumstances. It's just saying, in that whatever circumstances you find yourself in, whatever is throwing itself at you, whatever you have succumbed to, there is a but. There is another end to the story, and it looks like this. Death gives way to life, despair to hope, defeat to victory, fear to confidence and faith, suspicion to trust, finality to a new beginning, humiliation to exaltation, anxiety to peace, abandonment to inclusion and belonging, shame to honour, mourning to rejoicing, being defined as a sinner to being declared a saint, an orphan spirit to knowing that you're a daughter or a son of the loving Father, guilt to forgiveness and problems to promises. That is what the but brings about. And it's not just there. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb taking the spices that they had prepared. Also Romans 8:11 says, but if the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. This is the reality of what the revelation to John declares in Revelation chapter 1, that, you know, Jesus is the living one who was dead, but, behold, is now alive forever and ever, and he holds the keys to death and Hades in his hands. This is what Jesus himself says, that, you know, the gates of Hades will not prevail against us. Today is the day where Jesus takes the keys and unlocks everything that is in this right-hand column. Through the keys that Jesus Christ has given, the keys to death, the keys to the realm of the dead, the keys to Satan and what he thought was his domain, Jesus unlocks life, hope, victory, confidence, faith, trust, beginning, exaltation, peace, inclusion, belonging, honour, rejoicing, your sonship and daughtership, your sainthood, your forgiveness and promises. And he unlocks all of these in the midst of the things that perplex us and in the midst of the things that terrorise us. You see, being perplexed and terror are our natural responses to the stuff in the left-hand column. The women, it says in Luke 24, verse 5, the women were terrified. You think, well, you can't gloat, blokes. At least they were there. They were out looking. The guys were lost in their negativity pit, locked behind closed doors. But the women were terrified, and they bowed their faces to the ground. It's only the angel who asks them that question, why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? And then he gives them the key. The angel says, remember. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee. The Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again. Then they remembered. Aha! What did they remember? They remembered there's a but. They remembered that the story was never going to end with the death of a dream. When I get assailed by negativity, when I start to believe the lies of the enemy, things won't work out. People won't change. It can't be different. You're on your own. I remember the reality of the Easter account. I remember that people went to the tomb to embalm a dead body. You don't do that if you expect it to be alive. I remember the realism of the Easter account, that it produced terror and fear. I remember that when they looked into the tomb, it didn't produce faith. And then I remember the but they met Jesus. But Jesus revealed himself to them. But Jesus embraced them in the midst of their fear. And it doesn't banish my negativity, but it switches me from the columns where despair and death and defeat seem to reign, and it shifts me into what I've called the Easter opposites. I haven't got the headlines there, but in my notes here, I've got on the left-hand side, I've called them the Easter negatives, and then the right-hand column, I haven't called them the Easter positives, I've called them the Easter opposites. Because you and I can't always be positive. Yeah, the power of positive thinking doesn't always change things. Because if your situation seems dreadful, then it will only fill you with more dread, no matter how positive you be. So we don't embrace positivity, we embrace the Jesus who brings the opposite of Easter negativity. It's Jesus we embrace, not positivity. And we do that by remembering. We do it by remembering. This isn't the memory of hindsight. Yeah, who wishes they had a moment again? All of us. If you're a parent, there's moments you wish you'd had again. If you're a kid, your parents here nudge them and say, yeah, I wish you'd had it again as well. When the Easter disciples remember, what they're remembering is all the stuff in the right-hand column. You know, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians that Jesus is the yes and the amen. Maybe some of you learnt it in the old language. He is our yea and amen to all of God's promises. Those promises seemed dead and buried, but now when Jesus has come alive, we go, ah, yes, despair gives way to hope. Ah, yes, death gives way to life. Ah, yes, fear gives way to trust and faith. And so that's what we remember. It's the remembering of Jesus' promises, his presence, and his purpose. I was visiting, and Julie and I were visiting an uncle of hers on our way back from Melbourne. He was a bachelor. He'd been a bachelor all his life. He was well into his 80s. He had lived on a farm out near Mount Arapiles, if you know where that is. And it's pretty marginal country. And Uncle Cyril could have written the left-hand column. He loved writing letters to the editor for the Wimmera Times, saying how bad life was and how terrible things are. One day we were coming back from Melbourne. He'd moved into a retirement home in Horsham, and Julie and I said we'd like to come and stay with you. And we turned up, and after a while he goes, so why are you here? We said, because we're breaking our trip. Yeah, but why are you staying with me? Because you're our uncle and we love you. Oh, yeah, that's right. Said, tomorrow we'd like to take you out for breakfast. He said, why do you want to do that? Because we love you. I've never been out for breakfast in my life. So the next morning we took him out for breakfast, and on the way to the cafe, he was going on about, you know, the Labor Party's full of Fabians and the Liberal Party's gone full of pinkos and, you know, the church is on a downward spiral and everything was bad. And we get to the cafe, and he was holding the menu upside down, and I said, well, they have bacon and eggs. And he goes, okay, that's what I'll have then. And I got a serviette, and on the serviette I pulled out a pen and I put on the right-hand side problems. I said, Uncle Cyril, as I've been listening to you last night and today, it seems that there's a lot of problems. And he goes, problems? Problems? You want to hear about problems? I said, no. I just said, there are always going to be problems. And I got my pen and I went to the very left-hand side of the serviette and I wrote the word promises. And then I wrote an arrow and the word provision. I said, God's promises are his provision for our problems. I said, you know, Uncle Cyril, I was just reading the other day that if you took every Bible verse that had one of God's promises, some of them are repeated in many Bible verses, but if you took every Bible verse that held a promise of God, it would take you 3 years to get through them if you were to read just one a day. He goes, oh my goodness, that's a lot of promises. I said, it is. And that's what we want to focus on. I said, let's do a little test, a little example. And he says, okay. I said, I'm going to say one word thinking of this illustration I've just given him, I want you to say the first thing that comes into your head. And he says, okay. And I said, rainbow. And he goes, oh, flood, devastation, inundation, disaster, eradication. And then he looked at my face, which was screwed up, and he says, what do you see? And I said, I see never again, covenant, promise, future, a dove, an olive leaf, rescue, deliverance. And he said, I see what you've done. Jesus can be alive, and you can still focus on the left-hand column. But we remember. And when we remember the but, and we remember the Easter opposites, and we live in the Easter opposites. It's the remembering that negativity, hopelessness, distrust, and cynicism don't belong to you. They're not yours. And you remember by asking. You remember by asking. I was delivering firewood quite some years ago to a place, and this bloke, Joe, he was a man in town when we lived in Mount Torrens who didn't have many resources. And I said I'd get him some firewood. What he didn't tell me is that it's about 75 metres from where I dropped it down a path around the back to where he wanted it stored, and he had no capacity to do that. So I got the wheelbarrow, and I knew I was there for a reason. So I asked the Holy Spirit, you know, Holy Spirit, what am I here for? And said, just to have a conversation and ask him questions. We'd just got back from being overseas, and Joe said to me, oh, you like to travel, don't you? And I said, yes. Well, do you like to travel? He said, yes. And I said, well, what are your favourite kind of countries? He says, oh, I love going to Bhutan and Nepal and Tibet, those countries. And I said, oh, they're interesting countries. What fascinates you about them? And he said, oh, Buddha. So, okay. So I went off, and I was getting loads of firewood in between this, and I get back to the trailer, and I said, now what? And he said, tell them you like Buddha. That's what the Holy Spirit said to me. I knew what the Holy Spirit meant. You are confused right now. And so I went back and I said, interesting, what do you like about Buddha? Are you a Buddhist? And Joe says, no, I could never be a Buddhist. I'm not into reincarnation or anything like that. And I said, oh, I've found sometimes I read these really pithy, short comments, just short statements, you know, like proverbs and stuff like that. And I think, oh, that's really wise. And then I have a look at it and I realise, oh, it was written by Buddha. And he said, I didn't think I'd hear you saying that, Peter. I said, I didn't say I believed in Buddha. I just said Buddha had some very wise things to say. And he said, I know you're a Christian. And I said, how do you know that? And he said, someone's name. They told me. Someone else in town. And I said, well, you know, I like Buddha and those sayings, but I love Jesus. And then I just left it at that and went and got some more firewood, and I came back. And Joe said to me, that's very interesting. What's the difference between Jesus and Buddha? And I said, well, the difference between Jesus and Buddha is that Buddha is dead. But Jesus is alive. And you know what Joe said back to me? I wish I could have faith like you have. And you know what I said to Joe, don't you? You can, you know. To which Joe said, how? And I said, you ask him. I said, if Jesus is dead, you won't hear anything. But if he is alive, he will show you in some way. You ask him. If you are doubting the power of the resurrection, if you are living on the left-hand side, just ask Jesus, Jesus, would you show yourself to me? Jesus, would you reveal yourself to me? You remember by asking. Secondly, you remember by reminding one another. And returning from the tomb, they told this to all the 11 and all the rest. You know why we get together in small groups? It's not just to have wine and cheese. It's not just to do a Bible study. I don't know if we need more Bible studies. They're not bad. But what we need to do is remind each other of that which we've already heard. You can have Bible study after Bible study after Bible study and still live as if all the Easter As if all the stuff on the left-hand column were true. But when we get together, we remind one another, we encourage one another that Jesus is alive. And we speak it into each other's lives. And thirdly, we remember by blessing, not blasting. We remember by blessing, not blasting. You know, I've noticed about Christians, we're very good at blasting. Oh, we blast this, we blast that, we blast the government, we blast each other. What if we, instead of blasting, we blessed? So my mate Robin Krieg and I are in Tennant Creek as a result of a prompting by the Holy Spirit, which is a whole other story, about 12 years ago, and we get to Tennant Creek and we're going down the main street and we said, well, Holy Spirit, you brought us here. We don't know what we're here for. And we turned around and saw this hill in Tennant Creek, just like one in Alice Springs, and there's a white cross on the top. So we go up to the top, a little bit of a climb, the highest place in Tennant Creek, overlooking the whole town, and we see that at the foot of this huge white cross, there's a plaque. And the plaque is put there by the combined ministers fraternal of Tennant Creek quite some years ago, and the plaque said on it, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Out of all the verses in the Bible, the Tennant Creek Combined Ministers Fraternal said, let's put a resurrection verse that declares the Easter opposites as a blessing over the town. And so Robin and I said, if we're here for 3 days, if we're here for a week, morning, dawn, lunch and dusk, we will go up onto Anzac Hill and we will declare this over the town. Some days we whispered it over the town and some days we shouted it over the town. And some days when we shouted it over the town, we got some interesting responses shouted back, to which we said, and also with you. As you live in Easter reality, you learn to bless. And you're blessed by focusing on the Easter opposites, my reality and yours. May it be so. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that death gives way to life, despair to hope, defeat to victory, fear to faith, suspicion to trust, finality to new beginnings, anxiety to peace, abandonment to belonging, shame to honour, mourning to rejoicing, that we're no longer seen as sinners by you, but we're declared saints, that we're sons and daughters, that you forgive us and that we have your promises. Father, we declare today that Jesus is the yes and amen to all of your promises. And we invite you, Holy Spirit, to indwell us, just as it says in Romans chapter 8, but if the Spirit of Jesus lives in us, and he does, then we have life and hope and a future. We receive this afresh today as our Easter inheritance. Amen.